are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, August the 24th. And what are the mock drafts saying, and what does the bubble results mean for your Detroit Pistons? This is your boy Matt Schiff, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Happy Monday. I am a sports writer here in the Motor City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com. Check us out there. Also a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys. Covered the team for the Detroit News off and on over these last few years. Credentialed reporter, all that good stuff. A little bit of a mix of an insider and outsider is what you get here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about your favorite daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Today, we're going to talk just a tad about a big playoff weekend, but what it means for the Pistons to have teams bowing out of the bubble and how Troy Weaver might be able to take advantage of that. I've got some takes. We're also going to go around the internet today and respond from Thursday's lottery, see what the mock drafts have to say. All sorts of draft Twitter and draft coverage out there has their new takes. We're shuffling the deck now that the Pistons are set at number 7, and we'll see what they're pegged to do whenever the draft happens. I also have a thought and a theory I want to share later on about my big board. I want to float it to you guys, so stick around for that and let me know what you think about my thought about what I might do with my big board. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Schuch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. It's probably the best way to get in touch with me. Also give us a follow on Locked On Pistons, that account as well, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Schuch, but let's reset where we're at with the playoffs after a big weekend here. Two teams have moved on, Boston and Toronto. We'll play in the second round. Should be a great matchup there. Second round should be nice, by the way. A lot of good meetings late on Sunday night. Just wrapped up before I was recording. That's right. Going the midnight oil, about midnight here. Early Monday morning, late Sunday night as we record. But the Jazz picked up the win. Go up 3-1 on the Denver Nuggets. 51 from Donovan Mitchell. Man, if only the Pistons had a player like Donovan Mitchell. I'm torn between that sometimes, bringing it up over and over again because it's the oldest bit in the world, and I know the diehards are sick of hearing about Donovan Mitchell. But let's not forget, right, the Stan Van Gundy, the rebirth of Stan Van Gundy as beloved NBA figure, right, doing the games and does a great job. He's on Twitter. Everyone loves his left-wing thoughts on Twitter, no doubt about that, especially for NBA fans. But while we fall in love with how much Stan Van Gundy knows about the game and how entertaining it is, and he talks about how much he loves Caris LeVert, and Donovan Mitchell, of course, is undeniable in this playoffs, let's not let Stan Van Gundy revise history here in Pistons Nation. But 50 from Jamal Murray as well on a 3 at the buzzer that ended up being meaningless, unless maybe some bets were probably changed by that shot that made it into a 2-point game. But, of course, the big one, Luka Doncic at the buzzer in overtime. You've seen the highlight. 43-point triple-double on a game that he was a game-time decision for. And 2-2 with the Clips and the Mavs. That's the big one going forward. That's the one that you got to be by the TV for on Tuesday night. But tonight's games, by the way, Milwaukee and Miami certainly in complete control of their series there. The Lakers and the Rockets are both up 2-1 there. Those series both officially become interesting if Oklahoma City and or Portland are able to get the upset tonight. But this could be the last 4-game day for the NBA playoffs today if Miami gets the sweep of Indiana. There are just 2 games left in the evening on Tuesday with those 2 series that are over. So those afternoon basketball games, the days are numbered. So if you like those, you might want to catch the last couple of those this week. But from a Pistons perspective, here are some things from the bubble. I know that we're watching free agents, we're thinking about the draft, all that stuff. But Troy Weaver, and I think that this comes with the direction of the franchise, as opposed to these last 10 or 12 years where you're trying to be competitive but also trying to rebuild on the fly. I think that the Pistons did Troy Weaver a favor by picking the rebuild lane, not only because he's got some time to let it happen, but when you're going into off seasons like this, and you know the direction of the franchise, you enter certain discussions and opportunities from a position of strength, which is something that Ed Stefanski didn't have these last couple of years. Something that Stan Van Gundy didn't have as well. More desperation, right? Looking for that star, get bamboozled on the Blake Griffin trade. Well, guess what? I think there are some teams out there that are coming out of the bubble, the seasons are officially over, that you have a position of strength against. And with Troy Weaver having the cap space and the ability to suck in some of those contracts, I think the Pistons are ripe to be in a nice spot to be able to have some trade opportunities out there. Obviously, Philadelphia, the 76ers, everyone's favorite whipping boy, myself included. I couldn't be happier to see the 76ers go down 4-0 to the Boston Celtics and have their season end with a whimper. Certainly, Brett Brown's going to get fired here in these next few days, as he should. He should have last year. But they got to do something, right? They can't just fire the coach and bring back those four players that lead that roster with Embiid, Simmons, Harris, and Horford. Elton Brand's got to make some tough calls. He's going to be on the hot seat now, as he should be, considering the disastrous Tobias Harris trade, some of the trades they didn't make, the signing of Tobias Harris. And keep in mind, you know, people that didn't want to trade Tobias, you'd probably have to pay him, and that would be tough for the Pistons these days. I don't know, man. Obviously, trading Embiid is tough with his injury problems, and you're probably not going to get the value you want for a center in today's NBA. Certainly, you can trade Ben Simmons. I think it's a possibility, although coming off of an injury, coming off of the fact that he can't shoot in today's NBA, I think he is a guy that could be a number one on a very good team if you build the right team around him. Obviously, a superior defensive player as well. But again, it's tough to envision getting 90 cents on the dollar or more for Ben Simmons, given the position that the 76ers are in. And Harris, man, that's a tough contract. And plus, he's a valuable player for your team. I mean, he's not a number one or anything like that, but when you're looking at Al Horford and Tobias Harris, certainly Tobias Harris is going to help you going forward more than Al Horford. Making Al Horford pretty much the obvious thing to move if you can, if you're Elton Brand. It's going to be tough to move. It's a terrible contract. Got 3 years left, about 100, whatever it is, maybe more like, yeah, $90 million, something like that. But I floated this on Twitter the other day, late night after the lottery, and I promise I had not had some beverages at that point. What about a Horford for Griffin trade, right? I mean, it's two poison pill contracts, two teams, two, you know, untradeable quote-unquote contracts. I got enough grief from both Pistons and 76ers fans that I think it's a pretty good idea because they didn't want the other one. I think Blake Griffin, if you're Elton Brand, you could sell that to your fan base as if this guy gets healthy, he helps this team win. It's a little bit lesser of a year's contract. It's more money. The Pistons will take on another year of Al Horford as opposed to just the 2 years left on Blake Griffin. However, you are saving about $10 million per season this summer and next summer, so you got a little bit more cushion. Like I said, you're taking on that extra year, so ultimately it's about the same amount of future money that you're invested into each of these guys. You get the same quality of locker room presence in Al Horford and Blake Griffin. And I think if you're the Pistons in a position of strength, you can get the 76ers to throw in more assets on that deal, whether that's young players. You know, I don't think Thybulle is quite there. I mean, he's too good. I mean, too good of an asset to squeeze into that deal. However, keep working, keep going back with the phones, maybe throw in at Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin for Al Horford and Matisse Thybulle. Maybe that gets it done. Elton Brand adds a couple of big names, a couple of scoring options on a desolate offense. I don't know. It makes a little bit of sense to me. That's just one I wanted to throw out there. We'll talk some more about Philly and some possibilities down the line. But how about Brooklyn? Caris LeVert has turned himself into a lead ball handler, a lead a guy you could feature as one of your top players. And I don't know that this is the direction the Pistons want to go to. This feels a little bit of Fred Van Vliet to me. But certainly with the Nets and how they want to retool their team going forward, and not surprising that they got swept given the roster that they took to Orlando, but thinking about how they want to build with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and what you want to do around those guys. Not the position of strength in negotiations that you'll have with Sean Marks as you might have with Elton Brand and a team that needs to make some moves, but certainly Caris LeVert is someone that the Pistons could take an eye on. We know the Michigan ties, and I'll throw that out to Al Horford too, from Grand Ledge, a guy who's from Michigan as well. That's not as known, of course, as the University of Michigan tie for Caris LeVert. So maybe there's some young pieces. You know, they got Musa out there. They've got Jared Allen, some guys that were first-round picks that are possibly some talented guys that might not fit in the locker room, might not fit around Irving or Durant, and might be some pieces that you could possibly scavenge off of the Brooklyn Nets. And of course, we've talked about a little bit, but the Phoenix Suns, Jeff Bauer, drafted Luke Kennard. This is a team that should be aggressive. They went 8-0 in the bubble. The fans are excited. They've got a young team that looks like it's maybe going places. So they should be making some win now moves, even if that means sacrificing some future draft picks. You might have Jeff Bauer over a little bit of a barrel right now because he's going to have to make some certain moves. And I think we know that they called about Luke Kennard at the trade deadline. Like I said, Bauer drafted him. This might be an opportunity to swindle Jeff Bauer for all the times that Jeff Bauer was swindled for the Pistons. Pistons fans certainly deserve that and should look into that. And like I said, Troy Weaver, nothing wrong with bringing Blake Griffin back, ticking another year off that contract, hoping he gets a little healthy. Maybe he showcases a little bit for the trade deadline or next summer. The Pistons are in a good spot. They don't need to make moves this summer, but they can. And there are other teams out there that maybe need to make moves, and Troy Weaver can take advantage of that. So some good news out of the bubble there. And we'll take a look at the teams that fall throughout the rest of the playoffs and see if we can find some connections on possible moves that the Pistons can use their cap space and the fact that they're not really concerned about winning a lot of games next season to their advantage. But up next, we're going to go around the internet and talk about the mock drafts. Who are they saying for the Pistons at number 7? That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about CBDMD. You know how I feel about these kind of products. It helps me out immensely. I am a daily user of CBD right now. It doesn't matter if you're a pro athlete, which, hey, what's up, man? Thanks for listening. A stay-at-home parent, good luck with the school this year, or maybe you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair as my hand slowly goes up. Everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. They got the CBD Freeze with menthol. It's an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. There's also the CBD Recover. These are twin products that combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like ARNICA and vitamin B6 to give you the support that you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they are offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA, for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD.
Yes, sir!
I want to encourage you guys to go back and check out the episode from late Thursday after the lottery. We had a fun one there and got some good traction over the weekend from you guys. So go ahead and rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast as well. I don't hammer that home with you guys enough, but I'm hoping that you're spreading the word, rating, review, and subscribing to the podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. So what kind of free content? This is great stuff, and I'm going to go into the premium content and share some of this stuff because we're going to go around the internet here and see what the Pistons will do at number 7 according to the experts. Here's some of the draft experts and folks that I kind of listen to and earmark for my draft thoughts and also opinions and what's out there that I don't agree with, etc., etc. Of course, starting with James Edwards III of the Athletic, Pistons beat writer for them. He's got Killian Hayes at number 7 to the Detroit Pistons. The 19-year-old French-born Hayes is considered by many to be the second-best point guard in a draft class deep at that position. At 6'5", he possesses great size for a lead guard and is considered to be one of the better passers. We'll not read James's entire thing. We'll leave some of the meat on the bone for Athletic subscribers there. But speaking of the Athletic, Sam Vecenie, kind of the national expert, the one I go to the most, I would say, for my draft coverage. He also goes with Killian Hayes at number 7 to the Pistons, saying Hayes' range should be somewhere between number 5 and number 15 for the Pistons. They have a real need at the point guard spot long term. The team should look to rebuild and trade Derrick Rose, given that his age and contractual status doesn't line up with the longer term window that the Pistons should be taking. Hayes' fit would fit in nicely in an all-lefty backcourt with Luke Kennard as a secondary scorer and provide him with a real on-ball threat to develop along with Sekou Doumbouya. End quote there. Next up is Gary Parrish of CBS Sports. He goes with Isaac Okoro of Auburn, saying Okoro was only a borderline top 40 prospect coming out of high school in Georgia, but he quickly emerged at Auburn as one of the best freshmen in college basketball this past season. 6'6" wing, averaged 12.9 points and 4.4 rebounds per game for the Tigers, who finished 24-4 when Okoro was healthy and available to play. There's more there. But Jonathan Wasserman of Bleacher Report, another respected mock drafter, goes with Onyeka Okongwu, saying Okongwu has convinced teams to look past his 6'9" size for a center and lack of shooting range. They've fallen for his athleticism around the basket, post footwork and touch, and defensive upside at the least. The Detroit Pistons should be able to bank on Okongwu for easy baskets off rolls, cuts, and missed shots. And given his length, mobility, and 2.7 blocks per game, they should feel excited about his potential to protect the rim and guard effectively in space. Next up is ESPN.com's Jonathan Givney, formerly of Draft Express. He goes with Tyrese Haliburton at number 7, saying Haliburton can fit in multi-guard lineups thanks to his size, spot-up shooting, and quick decision-making. The skilled guard is comfortable playing on or off the ball and loves to empower teammates with his passing. Detroit has a glaring hole at point guard, and Halliburton's maturity and feel for the game making an easy fit on the roster. End quote there. Also want to throw out that Tankathon projects Isaac Okoro to the Detroit Pistons as well. I don't think that they have like a very respected mock draft name or brand or anything like that. But of course, that's the newfangled draft site that everyone loves because of the lottery shakeups and simulations that you can do. But just want to throw that out there as well, that a popular site has Okoro going to the Pistons. The one, and again, this is Haliburton, Okongwu, and Okoro. These are all guys that I like. These are all guys that have Pistons DNA. Killian Hayes, of course, thrown into that mix as well. I would be happy with all those guys. But the one interesting wrinkle out there that I found was from Ricky O'Donnell of SB Nation. Ricky O'Donnell out there has Hayes off the board, Okongwu off the board early, and falling to the Detroit Pistons at number 7, Ricky O'Donnell has one James Wiseman, saying Wiseman was the number 1 overall recruit in the country before playing just 3 games at Memphis amid an NCAA eligibility scandal. His limited college tape is just one reason why he feels like the most polarizing prospect in this year's class. Believers in Wiseman see a long and strong 7'1" center who can protect the rim and slam home lobs from day one while refining his offensive skill set. Critics question the quickness of his lateral mobility and second jump and wonder how impactful a center can be in today's game without plus shooting and passing ability. So interesting notes there. A couple of Okoro votes, a couple of an Okongwu vote, a Haliburton vote, and a couple of Killian Hayes votes as well. But you kind of see what I was getting at last year of that group, that four-man group that I talked about. And I'm of that four, I center more on Okongwu, Hayes, and Haliburton as three guys that I really like for this team. I feel like 1, 2, maybe even 3 of them will all fall to 7 and be there for the taking for Troy Weaver. I don't see a scenario where all 3 of them are off the board. And if there is that scenario, maybe a guy like Anthony Edwards or LaMelo Ball or James Wiseman fall. And again, I think Edwards and Ball is near impossible, but James Wiseman possibly falling to 7 is something that I don't think is completely out of the question. And by the way, is something that I've kind of adjusted my big board a little bit, and I'm going to tell you guys about this here in a second, but I'm making kind of a crazy thought of an adjustment on my big board based just upon the fact that the Pistons fell to number 7 and how my big board may be impacted going forward. Not ready to quite commit to it yet, but I want to take you guys inside my addled mind, my crazy mind, into something I'm thinking about doing with my big board, seeing as though the Pistons have fallen to 7. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But hey, you know I got to tell you guys about the new and improved Built Bar. I am salivating at the thought of Built Bar showing up at my door sometime early this week. You know the Postal Service, a little bit of hiccups there, but no issues from Built Bar and no hiccups here with the best tasting protein bar ever. The new and improved Built Bar, even more delicious. The 6 new flavors, let me tell it to you, and I'll go slow so you can really think about it. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. Add those to the 12 original flavors, the one you know and love. And this is the place to start out your day, to end your day, pre-workout, whatever you want to do. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. These are dude bars. by the way. Lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Those are the macros you're looking for. Great for the keto diet as well, which I've dabbled in the past. And I may dabble in the future as well. Flavor profiles for the cookies and cream, right? This is the one I'm most excited about. Not going to lie to you, I'm an Oreo guy. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. You can do this on your diet. Whatever diet you're doing these days, that fits right in there. They have reset the promo code for this relaunch. So if you used the Lockdown promo code before, you can use it once more like I did, like I will. Free cooler with purchase while surprise supplies last as well. You can't go wrong. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. I want to remind you guys one more time, rate, review, subscribe, all that great stuff, especially on iTunes. Move us up those podcast charts. People are going to be looking for their Pistons podcasts this offseason, especially going into the draft as well. So do that for me. Would really appreciate that. But as we talked about last Thursday night's episode, I threw out my big board, the first one post lotteries. I believe it was the big board 4.0. But I got to tell you, here we are a few days later, had a weekend to think about the draft lottery and what the Pistons need to do as an organization going forward. And I'm thinking about making some adjustments. So here's the original big board from last week. Number one, Onyeka Okongwu. I know I'm a broken record there. Number two, Tyrese Halliburton. Number three, Killian Hayes. I'm telling you, 1, 2, 3, very tight in my prognostication from last week, or my thoughts from last week. Number four, Anthony Edwards. Number five, James Wiseman. Number six, LaMelo Ball. Can't deny the upside of those three guys. I wanted to sprinkle them in there. Number seven, I had Isaac Okoro, although I was a little bit non-committal, a little shaky on that one. Evdia might be my pick at number seven or higher. Devin Vassell, also someone who I thought about. And I'm seeing you guys talking about Kira Lewis as well. Going to take a deeper dive into him and some of the other upside type of prospects that might not be on the top of everyone's draft board, but might be some niche followers out there that are really into some of those prospects that are out there. First of all, had some people reaching out about, should the Pistons trade in and get a second first-round pick? Should they get that Luke Kennard for number 10 from Phoenix, make that deal? Or trade up, you know, get the number 7 pick and get LaMelo Ball by trading up with the Golden State Warriors at 2 or maybe even Minnesota at number 1. I could not be more opposed to this line of thinking. This is a bad draft. And as a team in the rebuild that needs to be patient, you don't want to give up assets to move up in a bad draft to get a guy. And again, LaMelo Ball, I'm a broken record on him. We're not going to get into him too deep today. But this is not a guy who I think you should be building your franchise around. And that's kind of all I'm going to say about that. However, the 4, 5, and 6 on my big board, Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball, in that order. Since the Pistons fell to 7, and I don't know if this quite makes 100% sense in my head. I want to hear from you guys if you have some thoughts, if I'm out of my mind or what. But given that the Pistons are at 7 and given that I have endorsed not doing anything to move up in the draft, sit at 7 or perhaps even trade down, but most likely staying at number 7, given that everything else is off the table there and that you're going to be picking just at number 7, I would consider in my personal big board moving up that trio of Edwards, Wiseman, and Ball, only because now you're talking about a more reasonable contract at about $28 million for 4 years. You're talking about motivated guys that took a little bit of a hit to the ego, and you still have that upside of Edwards, Wiseman, and Ball. And again, getting a number one pick, I don't love those guys. I wouldn't feel good about drafting any of those guys at picks 1, 2, and 3. But if you have an upside prospect that falls to number 7, maybe you do take him. Maybe that is a situation where Anthony Edwards, who might end up in a couple All-Star games, I don't love the culture, I don't love the fit, I don't love the lack of defense. But again, maybe this is a chance to take that swing. So, long story short, and again, this isn't official, but I'm considering moving up the Edwards-Wiseman-Ball trio up ahead, maybe back into 1-2-3 or 1-2-4 or 1-3-4, something like that, ahead of the Okongwu, Halliburton, Hayes. You know, keeping in mind that you're probably going to ultimately just end up crossing those names out after they get picked somewhere in the top 6 before the Pistons move up. But if you get one of those guys to fall, and that's the purpose of the big board, right? You cross those names out after they get picked, and whoever's left at the highest on your list that's not crossed off, when it gets you at number 7, that's the guy you pick. So really kind of thinking about The different world that we're in now that we know the Pistons are at 7 as opposed to possibly being in the top 3, top 4. We know where we're at. And given that information, I'm kind of thinking about moving some of those guys up. And it's going to be a mixture of keeping Okongwu, Halliburton, and Hayes up pretty high, but possibly moving up. I'm looking at specifically Anthony Edwards. I'm thinking about moving him up to maybe even number 1 just because this is a guy who's got some real all-star potential. Whereas I still don't see it on LaMelo. I think I keep him down more 5 or 6. But James Wiseman, he's the tough one, right? Because he's the one who might realistically fall. So if he's on the board at number 7, along with 2 or 3 of the Okongwu, Halliburton, Hayes combo, who do you actually like more? What about that upside? What about that possibility of a two-way center that develops into a jump shooter that could become that dominant rim protector and will start off his career as a lob threat and someone who's going to be imposing in the middle of the defense, although there are certainly questions about James Wiseman. Those are the things that keep me up all night. Those are some of the things I was thinking about this weekend. And maybe next week we will put out Big Board 5.0, maybe another week after that. But that's kind of where I'm at. And again, number 7, is it Okoro? Is it Vassell? Is it Avdija? Or do I like Avdija to move him up to maybe ahead of LaMelo Ball or a Killian Hayes type? So a lot of thinking. That's what's going on. I threw out the knee-jerk Big Board after the lottery, but having some second thoughts. But throw it out to me as well. What's your top 7? You know the Pistons are sitting at 7. I got to see 7 prospects from you. What's your big board? Call us at 810-666-1546. Leave a voicemail. Let us know your top 7 or tweet them at me at Lockdown Pistons. We will play those voice messages. We will relive your big board. Read them off here on the podcast this week as you send those in or email matt_shook@yahoo.com. But that'll do it for today. Thanks for listening to another Mock Draft Monday. But this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening. Go ahead and tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan. Thanks a lot, and have a great start to the week, everyone. Talk to you guys tomorrow.